So you just missed the rapture. That's right. You just missed the rapture. That is the harpezo, the calling up, the catching up, the snatching away of the saints. Somebody's told you that the day of the Lord has already come. Somebody's told you that the Lord has taken all the believers out. There you stand, and somebody gives you a prophecy. Somebody tells you a vision they've had that the day of the Lord's already occurred. Somebody comes with some writings that says the Apostle Paul wrote this, and the day of the Lord has already occurred. Does that sound familiar? Does it have anything to do with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when we are told not to let anybody deceive us? Even if some kind of report or prophecy, some kind of supernatural communication comes to us, but it is contrary and goes against all of what the Grapha, the writings, have already said. Now, that happened 2,000 years ago. Thessalonica, the believers were shaken. They were unsettled. They were, in anxiety, angst, dread. The day of the Lord already occurred. The rapture already occurred. Jesus already came. What am I doing here if I'm a believer? Well, that's all about the issues of counterfeit, about a counterforce that knows everything about the Scripture, knows everything about our walk with God, knows everything about biblical prophecy, and tries to bring damage to the faith of millions, and tries to bring confusion. God's not the author of confusion, is he? Well, listen, welcome. This is September the 21st, a Tuesday night, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is the Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar speaking to you. It is a privilege, it is a great thing in this 1 hour to know that there is a providential, a supernatural engagement. How's your prayers today? Listen, how's the things going on in your life? May the Lord Jesus bless you, minister to you, reach you right where you are. Listen, I want to welcome all those listening live all over the place. Every once in a while, send us a note. Let us know where you're listening from. Want to say welcome again to all those that download later on in the week, later on in the month. And again, may God stretch his hand out to your life in all those cities and in all those countries all around the world. May this God that loves us, knows us, and wants us really minister to your life tonight. We're in the midst of a series that we've been working on this week. We're going to touch on the ancient tree of darkness, the idea that the enemy has planted himself, and that deep plant of the dark presence in Genesis 3 on has been growing. The roots are deep. It is in the air. It is around the world, but it is also operative in our physical world, and there is a constant development on that side. Until that side is ended. So I say real quick to the Satanists, Luciferians, recon specialists, there is a day. God does know. And it is by the mercy and the grace of God, I say to you too, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that we all turn, all of us. Got a couple of things in the news before I get into this tonight. We are dealing tonight with the title, Counterfeit Dark Powers Are Real. They deceive millions. But we haven't seen anything yet. We're going to touch a little bit on the Satanic Chosen One side and the possibility that some players out there in the world of television, evangelism, and revival, you know, those out there, there is enormous deception. I will answer the question today more definitively concerning Todd Bentley. You've sent me letters, emails, you've asked the questions. We had put out about a 40-minute podcast about a year ago, and I will answer that in a more definitive way here in a few moments. Don't forget tonight, 7 o'clock, Survive to Thrive. I am the radio guest host for Steve Quayle, and we're going to deal with the layers of darkness. As a matter of fact, let me look at notes here. We're going to deal with about 7 issues when it comes to being layered and precursors for the ultimate deception. You do realize that when the Antichrist rises, millions will embrace him as they have embraced no other supposed human being in all of history. And the precursors are here, and it burns my britches to see the deception, the deceit, the seduction, the masquerade that steals the lives of humans. So listen, if you're a believer in Christ tonight, ramp it up, the prayers, the worship, your walk, take up that cross. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You have nothing to lose in that, nothing to regret as a faithful servant of God. Don't be caught with your spiritual pants down in the end, my friend. You want to be walking with the Lord right now. Speaking to believers there, listen, on this night, Tuesday, the 21st September, we had the ritual. Here's the alert. Ritual yesterday, Hands of Glory, and then there's also another coming up here. When is that? Tomorrow? Let me take a look here real quick. I think it's September the 20, is it the 21st or 22nd or 23rd? Take a look. 22nd, we have a feast day, the fall equinox. And again, rituals, it's just simply ritual dates. And many, not only Satanists, but Wiccans and many others will take their stand during that time and do the ritual stuff. I had a friend out of the CIA, took me down to Peebles, Ohio, to the Serpent Mound. And we're going down there to look at what was built as a massive Listen, this is astroarchaeology gateway. This is opening the door. Human remains, literally a gateway was built. You know what's really weird? The very day a man from that had worked for the CIA that had, I'll just say this much, is really engaged in the UFO alien issues. So we pick out a day, we drive. I think it took about almost 4 hours. We got down there to Peebles, Ohio, that area, got to the Serpent Mount. Just as we pulled in, across the street in the farmer's field, a massive crop circle. Everybody was showing up. Newspeople were beginning to show up. It had just, they were seeing it for the first time that very day. Pretty strange. Now, the Indians and others that worked on the properties there told us that. I asked questions like, is there anybody that sneaks onto the grounds during the night, certain times of the year? Do they do rituals? Do they do anything? Oh, of course, absolutely. He talked about Wiccans and others. They're all showing up because the place is charged. This is where they want to be. They want to be in the context of an ancient gateway. And the sad thing is, the spirits that were operative back when this was built, when this was developed, and what was done over it, they haven't gone away, and they will search for those who will listen and who will try to open the doors again to a very, very big gateway. Now, 2 things in the news. Senate Republicans had worked strong today in nixing the Democratic push. Really, it's a gay activist lobbying group behind all of this, a very small minority in the United States. But again, they know where the power is. They know about law. And so their goal was to get in there and really push because of Obama's presence and the belief that they're going to be able to really, just level everything, and including the military's concept of don't ask, don't tell when it comes to homosexuality and being gay. And so the issue was pushing that out of the way so that gay and lesbians in the military can all come out. Now, the concept is a sexual-centric thing. It's sexual-centric. It's centered around this issue. And as we hear this today, I have a friend out west, Tim, sends me an article that the Evangelical Lutheran Church, quote, now listen, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, presided over at St. Paul ceremony, that officially received 3 openly lesbian pastors into the denomination's roster. Pastors Anita C. Hill, Ruth Frost, and Phyllis Zilhart took part in a service of reception Saturday at the Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in St. Paul. All three, I'm quoting now from the article that was sent to me from my friend out west. This is from Kelloland.com, K-E-L-O-L-A-N-D.com. And it just simply is entitled the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, receives the gay lesbian pastors. Now, first of all, well, there's just, let's take a look at this. And it's the Star Tribune of Minnesota reported that Reverend Peter Rognes, Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, St. Paul Synod, presided over the assembly. It's astounding to me, and they got a picture of a stained glass window with Jesus there, and it's all about their reception, as if that was a good thing. Let me tell you how bad of a thing that is, because I've said in the series, we have a series called the Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. We talked about this series dealing with all kinds of issues, but when it comes to the gay and the homosexual issue, here's a couple of things we need to know. Both those in the military and all those in Canada, United States, please understand something, because part of the propensity, the drivenness in the internal makeup of gay lesbians, there is a drive to deal with their conscience, a drive to force, not only within, it just won't happen. See, they can't get the sense of acceptance from within. They can't get rid of the conflict of this being against nature. They can't get, I'm just saying physiologically, biologically, a man with a man, the parts don't work, procreation doesn't work. The part, again, physiologically, biologically, it doesn't work. It's abnormal. And yet there's this propensity, this drivenness in the conscience to override the conflict inside. And since the conflict cannot be overridden on the inside, there is a demand to change everything. Listen now carefully. Politicians, those in the government, gay lesbians that may listen. It's one thing to do whatever you do sexually in your own bedroom. Whatever you do with your life, between you and God, we all reap what we sow. We all do. Now let me say this. The issue is not what people do in their own bedrooms in their own privacy. The issue is the activist gay agenda. You know, where the books are written and forcefully, you know, brought to grade school children about two daddies, two mommies, that kind of thing, that issue, or about this issue, the Lutheran Church, or about the military, or about the American Psychological Association, or about psychology or philosophy or theology. You see, the propensity is, and I don't even know if gay and lesbian activists understand this, because if, you know, as I brought this up in discussions with some before, anger arises, unbelievably, you know, being cussed out, yelled at, spit at, condoms thrown at me at the University of Akron, just because I was willing to stand up in their group and to say, no, Jesus Christ was never homosexual. No, Jonathan and David in the Old Testament were never. And so when I brought this up, of course, everyone in the room and the quote, quote, gay pastor, once a Nazarene, once married with kids, found out, he says, in himself that he was gay, so he came out of the closet. Well, listen, again, whatever you do in the closet's your deal, but if you bring it out of the public square, if you're coming to change laws, if you're coming to drive America to the point where every single person has to agree with you, affirm you, receive you, acknowledge, the propensity is to change God, to change Christ, to change Scripture, to change psychology, change biology, take children from other people because you can't have them together. So there's a big, big problem in the dysfunction biologically, physiologically, procreatively in the gay, lesbian, homosexual relationships, let alone, you know, overwhelmingly, historically, worldwide It is something that's not accepted. Now, that's the issue. And so the goal is force the military for special reception and acknowledgement of gay lesbians. Now, here's the issue. Here's the men in the barracks, or the women over there in their barracks, and they're, you know, going to take common showers. If a man, a gay man, is sexually attracted to men, should he be allowed to go into a local workout facility, use the men's locker room where there are naked men, go into the men's shower where there are naked men? When lust is going to be involved. How is that different than the women on their side, in their showers, in their privacy? What if a man that wants a woman, that gets excited about a woman or whatever, and walks into their locker room, walks into their shower where they're all naked? Of course, they're going to scream, and the cops are going to come, they're going to arrest them and so forth. But listen, the reality, the fact is that this goes on. Lesbian women lust after other women, and they walk into a open shower room where there are naked women, and that's a problem. And this whole issue is kind of complex, but here's the bigger story that nobody's reporting on. The absolute, what do you call it, idiocy, stupidity, blindedness of so-called evangelical Lutheran leadership. Are you kidding me? Reverend Peter Rognes, Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I hear Sardis. I hear Laodicea. I hear Ichabod at the door of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. That's what I hear. Because instead of being the ones that unleash the power of the gospel, the reality of the truth of God, sitting in old liturgical and seemingly powerless, ritualistic, abnormal Christianity. If your church doesn't look like the church in the book of Acts, if it looks like the church of Sardis, once alive but became dead, well, there's a problem. Don't deny the fact that local churches and denominations can go astray. The Episcopals did. Bishop Robinson isn't a man of God. He's a man of gay lesbian activism. And so now we have three lesbians that have led the way through a lobbying pressure and now led leadership in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America to say, we receive you, we take you in, and you're allowed to be not only members and practice your lesbianism, but you get to be pastors to influence people. And I say that that every single American, Canadian, all those that listen down the road, absolutely you are allowed on a basis of lobbying, care for your community, care for your country, to fight against this. We have a right to. We have a right to be able to stand up and say, no, I don't want my children taught this. I don't want to be in the military and have gay men in the shower room with me looking at me. I don't want a lesbian pastor teaching my children. It's against the Word of God. It is against nature. It is against biology. It is against procreation. And so, if it's going to come into the activist forefront, I say fight the policies, fight the agendas, while we offer the message of grace and hope in Christ. Because thousands and thousands of ex-gays, ex-homosexuals have come to Christ. Thousands have turned. Thousands across the land have come out of that lifestyle. They've acknowledged the dysfunction, the pain, the confusion, the addiction, and they've come out of it, turning to the living Christ and coming to serve the living Christ. Please understand, it is clear, clear, clear in not only the biblical sense, but if the gay activist agenda of forcing everybody to change, including God, including the scriptures, including Christ. The question is, then, is anybody in the gay lesbian movement allowed to change? Is any homosexual allowed to choose and say, I no longer want to be this? I no longer like this? Because thousands and thousands of gays, homosexuals, men and women have changed, walked away, never gone back. So I bring this out only to say that in the context of what I'm talking about tonight and the scripture that we're going to go to, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, remember? It is the place where we're told that in reference to the Antichrist, in reference to the supernatural operative work of Satan, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. And this all deals with the development, the evolution, and eventual apocalypse, the unveiling of the Antichrist into the world. And here's the platform that will help bring seduction to the world, layer the world, prepare them to receive the most horrific deception humanity has ever engaged, and it will lead to the greatest destruction, probably less than 5 years from the time of the apocalypse of Antichrist. 4 to 5 billion people may be gone and dead, and the planet in flames. That's the truth. And so when the Spirit of God gives this revelation that in the progressive evolutionary development of the dark side's manifestation into our culture, into our society, coming in against our churches, presenting the counterfeit dunamis, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, then it says this, and in every sort of evil, every kind of evil, wickedness. That would involve sexual decadence. All the kinds of moral sins that all left-hand pathers know, real Satanists know that sin brings a dirtying to the conscience, mind, heart of a human being. That it literally brings a layering of insensitivity, of the ability to perceive. When we as human beings sin more and more and more and more and more, we darken ourselves. Our thinking becomes futile. Our understanding becomes dark in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down, right? So in the layering of the world in preparation for the greatest deceit humanity has ever known, we're on the edge of it. We really are. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that the gay, lesbian, homosexual agenda, trying to force everything and everyone to change, is part of this prophetic revelation of the moral decadence unleashed by the dark side, encouraged, fueled, so that there can be a darkening of the heart, of the understanding, and that makes an individual more prepared to receive direct spiritual deception. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that. And so tonight, as we look at this issue of and what we're talking about in this series, and if you're just tuning in again, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness, live on the 21st of September, Tuesday night. We're glad to be here, but the series for the week is that ancient tree of darkness, the counterfeit. The counterfeit is real, but it is lethal. The counterfeit is, there's real power, real experience, real events, real everything, but it's absolutely lethal. And I'm going to tell you right now that what we read out of 2 Thessalonians, written 2,000 years ago, inscripturated, the Grapha, this is prophetic writings by the Spirit of God. This is what it's going to be like in the stages just before the great hellish rebellion, chaos, and rise of the Antichrist. Now, thousands and thousands of you listening know that the Antichrist is coming. God has given the intelligent report, the preemptive report. God has given us the heads up of the sequence of this development. Now, I'm very sure that there's probably tonight, I have no question because of the emails that I've gotten yesterday and today, that again, those committed to the dark side, those committed to this ancient dark. Well, in the words of undergrounders, the tree, the concept of the tree that has been planted, the roots have been growing, the idea of the bloodline, the agenda. I have those that I've dealt with that believe that inwardly they, in the power of demonic presence, project out, astral out, and they actually go to some kind of, in some spiritual realm, probably the second heavens, the realm there, they engage, they say they do anyway, they engage some level, somehow this tree. So many of them have said they see it. Now, to the spiritual reality that is manifesting around us, there are real, behind the scenes, I want to say, solid. Don't think of a demon spirit as some vapor that appears for a while. They are entities. I'm sure that when the B'nai HaElohim, Genesis 6, manifested when they took the women, because it wasn't incubus or succubus, it was directly taking them and causing the conception. Well, then the reality is this is very clear, that they are entities. They have powers. We're going to be, I think, Thursday night dealing more of why the blood, why the issue of genetics, why the issue of wanting to be deep into the blood and the bloodlines and the passing down and the charging of blood at rituals and all that. And America, Canada, listen, all the rest of us around the world, we've got to understand the level of rituals that are being done. They are the most supernatural spots, gateways of demonic, operations. They are clearly doors. And if they're stationary places where rituals, blood rituals are constantly done, then they are open gateways, like the Mayan culture. And I'm not even going to mention anything about that yet. We got a whole series coming up. What I want to tell you tonight about this counterfeit issue is this, that in that portion that we've read out of 2 Thessalonians, in reading that, the word pseudo, it's just simply pseudo, that there are going to be, in accordance to the supernatural operating power of Satan himself, his actual work, that word, energes, that is the exact word used of God in his supernatural operating power in working in our lives. You can read about it in Philippians when it says that God works in us. It's the word Jesus used when he said, I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the works. It's what's in Ephesians 2 that we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Comes from that root word that God had prepared in advance for us to do. Believers have some incredible supernatural works to do, and that involves the prayer, is soul winning, healing, deliverance, ministries using charismatic giftings. Think about how supernatural the church should be. Let me just give you a little picture here. You know, the gathering of the body on Sunday, the gathering of believers together, Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, there will I be with them, right? The manifest, living, presence of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but, and I don't go to, I go to, I think, I love, I, I'm only say this, I love the local church I'm going to, because I'm called to be there, but it's not everything that I want it to be, that I think Scripture says it can be. And I think that all pastors and all leaders and all believers should care about this. As a matter of fact, when I worked on this today, it's as if God invaded me and brought about, and I've got on my third page here, I'm going to bring out in a special, But it's you know, what if the church becomes as powerful as it is meant to be? I get 8 points concerning that. How can it become? Because literally, it should be the most supernatural place on the earth. It should be the place. Listen, isn't it the place where we are the temple of God, the naos of God gathering together? Isn't it where God inhabits the praises of his people? Are not the worship songs, the praises, the hymns, the spiritual songs being unleashed by supposedly spirit-filled people in a direct interactive relationship, a quantania with God? I know what that experience is. I had it before I came on the show. I had it tonight, today, in prayer, in engagement of worship. Just sitting there and loving, you know, God and interacting. And knowing that the presence, do you know the presence of God? Do you know the power of God? The signs and wonders of God? The charismatic giftings? What about the power of prayer, let alone the power of the Word of God, the gospel? The most supernaturally charged, supernaturally enhanced, supernaturally, in every single way, the body of Christ is a supranatural, God-appointed, God-indwelt, God-inspired, and should be, God, let me just say this, but God should be all over the church. In a manifest operating way, God should be all over the church. If you're a believer, I mean, think about it right now. You are born of the Spirit of God in fellowship with the living Christ. He never leaves, never forsakes. He said, I will be with you always to the end of the age, right? You're a temple of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, doors will be open. Power in prayer. You shall be, what, clothed with power from on high, right? I mean, think about this. The inseparable, unceasing, unbroken living relationship, whether you're conscious of it or not. You know, you could be working on a car and not be conscious, but if you're a believer, you know, your mind might not be on the fact of God's living, indwelling, on you presence. But the fact is, if you're born of the Spirit of God, into the depths of you, your body, your soul, your spirit is now animated not only by the presence of God, but by the new nature given through Christ that is dynamic in power to lead you to follow Christ, be devoted to God, and accomplish great things, let alone know great things, let alone experience great things. Hey, believer, how you doing? Is your life an echo of the supernatural manifestation of God? Because in the world around us, the counterfeit is occurring. To everything God does and speaks and is doing in the world, there is a counterfeit coming from the fallen cherub, from this dark agenda. There will be an antichrist because there is a real Christ. There are counterfeit signs because there are real ones. There are counterfeit miracles because there are real ones. There are counterfeit wonders. And I'm going to tell you tonight that we have found in our experience that the dark side can counterfeit every charismatic gift. Prophecies, tongues, word of knowledge, wisdom, discernments, all the giftings that we receive by the Holy Spirit that become those areas of enablements. They are literally the real God-given, non-human enhancements. If you have the gift of speaking in other languages, tongues, if you have glossiola is the Greek word, if you have that language that's been given by the Holy Spirit, sign gift of the unbeliever, a gift that you can use in prayer to God, in worship to God, pray that you get interpretation. Listen, isn't that supernatural? What about the gift of interpretation? That is even more experientially striking. It is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, think about gathering 100 or even 1,000 believers together. And all of a sudden, all the believers are together. Pastors, now listen. We're all gathered together. What do we do? What do we do when we gather together? We're wasting a lot of time. We're doing a lot of things that don't mean anything. We are literally allowing ourselves to be robbed by the enculturation of a fallen world system, by the appeasement of a fallen world system. A guy contacts me last night. He asks me about an apologetic church-based ministry down in Columbus, Ohio, where his son went. He says, and I've been by this place, I've looked at their website in the past, I know about them, I knew they're highly involved in biblical apologetics. But here's what he says. He says, Russ, do you know anything about this place? Because my son went down there, and they were doing all their stuff in their Bible studies. He said the discussions were really good, but they're all drinking beer, alcohol, and they're cussing. And even when they went to the pastor's house, they're drinking beer, using foul language. And I thought, have they reduced themselves with the fleshly fallen world idea that in order to relate to people, you got to sin? Do you have to become a homosexual to win a homosexual to Christ? Do you have to become a prostitute to win a prostitute to Christ? Do you have to use foul language, which the Word of God, Ephesians 4, very clearly tells us not to, that it grieves the Holy Spirit? Listen, Christians, the reality is loving Jesus, following him, brings about a life of great integrity, great witness, not because you must, but because you want. I don't do it just because I must. It's not poser. We're not on a stage like a rock star posing and then taking off our religious garb when we're all done and then coming and living our real backslidden, cussing, drinking, you know, goofball of a life that wouldn't inspire anybody. It will only inspire non-believers to drink and cuss and to act like that and to think that they're okay with God. Does the Spirit of God, is he operative on that? Or is he grieved? Or is he quenched? What a great failure to know the Word of God, but not obey it. What a grave failure. In the context of the greatest manifestation of spiritual battle in human history, when souls are literally being stolen, ripped off, seduced, does any Christian even care? Does the body of Christ realize that millions and millions and millions are literally being seduced, drawn in by the dark side, being layered, which I'll talk about in the next hour, and all prepared for the greatest destruction that Antichrist will bring, let alone the fact of, what about the judgment seat of Christ for believers? What about the lost and the great white throne judgment? Does anybody give heaven's emotion about this? Jesus did outside of Jerusalem. If God in human flesh can cry for the souls of men, howbeit that believers in Christ don't even feel a lick of emotion for those deceived, those lost, those dying and going to hell. Talk about the need for revival in the culture that we live in right now. There is grave, grave spiritual entrenchment. The frog in the kettle approach snuck up on everybody. So that 150 million or more Americans are gripped in some level by this counterfeit that the Holy Spirit warned about in the last days. Notice that the counterfeit giftings, counterfeit wonders, counterfeit supernaturalism, counterfeit spirituality is all in relationship to the direct operating presence of Satan in the development of the apocalypse, anthropos, anamos. Does anybody realize how serious, how deep, how close the world is to the greatest destruction, greatest deception it has ever known in all of history. Out of the words, out of the mouth of the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 24. You've read about that. Then when you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me tell you that here's, you know, as a believer, the church should be, it literally, when I walk away on a Sunday morning, if we've gathered for a couple of hours, or if it's a Bible study in a house with 20 people, we've never just done Bible study alone. There's prayer, there's some worship, there's openness to spiritual giftings. But here's what I always did as a pastor, here's what I always do right now, here's what I believe the body of Christ. When I ask the question, when we gather together, what for? What for? When two or three gather together in my name. The number one issue is gathering together in the name of Jesus. As baptized by the Holy Spirit into the living body of Christ, as the visible representation of Christ on the earth, not the Pope, that's a fake, not the Pope, that's a lie, he's no vicar. The body of Christ is the representation of Christ. When we gather in the localities, and by the word church, ecclesia, is used about 97 times in the New Testament, and about 90 some of those, it's in reference to local fellowships. And so when we gather on Sunday morning, if the first thing we realize is, you know what, we are gathering here for Jesus, his living presence. He is here. He is among us. He will operate among us. We've come then in worship. Gathering in the name of Jesus should lead automatically to the expression of koinonia in worship, our engagement with God, our embrace of God, our worship songs that declare the truths about God, the attributes about God, the words of God, the character of God, the acts of God, the person of God. When we unleash those hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs in the immediate presence of the Holy Spirit, there should be a great manifestation. When I say that, the felt presence of the living God. I confess, I feel the felt presence of the living God right now. I feel the urgency. I feel the tears about ready to bulge out of the emotion that's inside, because of the what's been stolen from the church by sheer desire to let the world, the flesh, and even the enemy bring an inculturation, invade, to where instead of bowing down to the living Christ and allowing the beauty of this awesome Savior in all of his presence, all of his power, bring forth all that he does, we substitute it. Anybody that has been in real revival or real where the living Christ, his living presence, and God's presence is, and the Holy Spirit's operative, you know, on earth there is nothing like it. As we gather, living. When I gather in my personal prayer time, first thing is, before I ever get to anything, before I ever sing, before I ever pray, before I ever talk, before I do anything, the acknowledgement of the unceasing, immediate, forever, never leaving, personal presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes from what is his and makes it known. The Holy Spirit is here to witness and point to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify and bring deeper and broader revelation of the Savior that we know. So when we gather together, and I think this is true individually or two or three gathering, whether it's two or three thousand, it should be the same. Do you think when the angel, look at the elders in the book of Revelation when they gather and they bow down, they cast their crowns down, and they throw out the incredible worship. Any of them sitting around looking at their watch? Anybody worrying about what food place they're going to get to? Are any of them bored? When I go to fellowship on a Sunday morning, Christ, 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 let's meet God. Let's let God, if God is going to manifest and be operative anywhere, wouldn't it be among his people? Though the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America has spit in the face of God, thrown the scriptures to the side, and now have marred the witness of the awesome, unprecedented, unequaled Christ. And they should immediately repent, because they should be preaching the miracle of salvation, redemption, that God can bring anybody out of any sin-addicted life. I had a guy write me an email today, brand new person. I will just simply say this guy. Well, let me just say this. This fellow wrote me today. All day I've been thinking about it. And let me just read, because it's in the context of what we're doing here. Again, I'm not going to mention his name. He says this: love listening to your show over and over. And after that, download them. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Please pray for a friend of my family, Susan. I do not know her current last name. She is a meth addict, and I believe she will soon die. I don't know if she is saved. Please pray for her, and I would ask that you would pray that I resist temptation. Thanks, Brother Russ. Love you as your brother in Christ. And then he puts his name. That is what this broadcast is all about. One individual that listens, that somehow, through my frail attempts, somehow he's blessed. And then he asks for prayer. Not for himself first, but for a girl. I've seen meth heads on the street. I've dealt with meth heads. I've seen 21-year-old girls that look like they were 60. Their teeth rotting, willing to sell their body to anything. Like a dog on the street. Just for the drug. Tell me you don't hate Satan. Tell me you don't hate the rotten evil of this world. You love one side or the other. Your choice, ultimately, you reap what you do sow. God will not be mocked. If it's heaven you want, Christ you want, embrace the living Christ. He's there for all of us. If it's hell you want, and you spit in the face of God, it is hell that you get. And God takes no pleasure in your loss. But you will lose. So today, all the listeners live, and maybe those later this week, can pray for a woman named Susan, a meth addict that this man believes will soon die. So I already wrote to him, already prayed for Susan, already prayed for him, wrote him a little note, just a short thing. I got hundreds of emails. I can't get to everybody. I'm trying. But I want you to hear me today when I say that all that we talk about is not about content of information, the newest and the most secretive of stuff. And, it is about one human being, maybe those that have downloaded there in Moscow, Russia, or someone in Bangalore or in Oslo. Maybe like the friend in the Netherlands that downloaded and gave his heart to Christ, or the Canadian woman that wrote me and said that she was so pulled into the New Age that because of everything now that she's heard, she's pulled out of it and re-surrendered her life to Christ. In this age, the church can be massively powerful, compassionate. You ever read Colossians 3? It talks about what to put off and what to put on. When it talks about clothe yourself with the compassion of Christ and so forth and so forth. Listen, I'm telling you, as we gather together, the body of Christ should be a witness of Christ, of that mercy, of that grace, of that compassion. We should care about changing lives. But that is coming through Jesus Christ, of course. But that people that are into deep sin addiction, you don't just discard them. In our culture, that is right now on the brink of opening itself up to the smile of Antichrist. What do? Give America to the dogs? Do you just let it all take over? Does nobody want to stand up and say no? Is there no Lutheran that will stand up, born of the Spirit of God in Christ, and stand up and say, please, don't you understand that if you do this, you grieve the Spirit of God, you go against the Word of God, you go against the gospel that is offered to change lives. And there are thousands and thousands of gays and lesbians that truly do want out, and they want to hear about a word where God can bring the internal change and the beauty and the power and the compassion and the love. It's happened to thousands of them. You and I are just sinners forgiven by the grace of God. That's all we are. But all we are, with all of this incredible grace, I gather, prayer should be thunderous in the body of Christ. Why are we not spending a half hour in constant, sustained, intercessory prayer? What if you got together on Sunday morning, the pastor, and said, church, we've gathered together, they sing a few praise songs, so forth, they embrace God, they're standing and ready, and then he says, let's now, pray out for at least a half hour. We're going to start praying for the lost in our city. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for our families and our friends. We're going to take our spiritual authority and pray against the dark side. And we're going to pray against all the operating presence of the enemy. We're going to pray for revival in our city among all the churches. And we're going to pray that God stretch out his hand like Acts chapter 4. Do signs, wonders, miracles in the name of his holy servant Jesus. We're going to pray that the power of God falls, that thousands are struck by the grace of God and turn to Jesus. We're going to let spiritual gifts. Is there a word of knowledge? Is there a word of wisdom? Is there a discernment? Every charismatic gifting brings a portion of the grace and the mercy and the literal presence of God into operative work. In the body of Christ, are we prepared and ready? Are we standing there with our oil ready to pray for anybody that needs healing prayers? Are we prepared on any gathering Sunday morning to pray for anybody with any level of oppression, demonic attack, demonic possession? Can anybody bring a possessed person to the church on Sunday and the body of Christ take care of it in Jesus' name? Or is the church so weak, so pathetic, so unable that by our sheer lack of faith, obedience, and experiential ministry in Christ, we are giving room to counterfeit signs, counterfeit wonders, counterfeit giftings, counterfeit powers, counterfeit presence that only brings... You know what? Every time I've dealt with somebody with counterfeit workings, just as the Holy Spirit, is in me because of salvation, clothes me for power to be a witness for Jesus, gives me charismatic giftings that I'm responsible before the Lord to use. And I want to. I realize that all of it comes from the power of God. I also experientially, in engaging individuals, when they have powers to perceive, powers to give words, powers to know things, powers to do fake healings, powers to do wonders and signs, in every case, it is a demonic entity operative in somebody who's allowed it to come in. See, Satanists in the real bloodline, the roots of this long, long history, they want to keep raising demonic powers and receive more power and more power and more power and more power. Because one is not enough. They're all finite beings. So you're adding one finite demon and another finite demon. But they want power. They want more power. Because whenever they do something, they lose part of that power. As a believer in Christ, God, the infinite Holy Spirit, dwells inside. And whatever ministry we pour out and everything else, we don't leak. We don't lose anything. We might even gain experientially more ability and grow, Acts 9:22, more and more powerful ourselves. Can the church gather and pray on a Sunday and see an answer right there in the midst of it? Can a church be so absolutely charged by what God did in the midst of the service? Or is it all just words? Is it an elevator ride where we step into the elevator, punch the ticket, go up, come out unchanged, unaffected, and move on? Do you remember what happened last Sunday morning in your service? I do. But when the church is the church, it is the most supernatural entity, and we can be. And I got a special message. I don't even know when I'm going to put it up. Be looking for it this week. Shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. But I'm telling you right now to all the believers, the Spirit of God, 2 Thessalonians 2, in the direct operative work of Satan, in the birth and evolutionary development and eventual apocalypse of the Antichrist, the apex of counterfeit presence, which involves then the deception of billions and the loss of billions in mass destruction. What are we doing concerning it on a daily basis? Well, I know we can be a blaze for God. We can do a lot of things for the Lord. And so maybe right now you can, as a believer, respond to, you know, standing up with all of your spiritual guts, offer yourself to Christ and say, far be it from me that I let the world go to hell, or my city or my nation or my family, you know, go to the dogs of hell and not fight in the presence and the power and the might of God. Well, listen, you've been listening to Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on a Tuesday night, the 21st. This is Russ Dizdar, and I want you to know that we love you tonight. We want you to keep us in your prayers, and please remember us in support. Good night.